Our scripture readings this morning, the first is from Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And the second reading is from Psalm 131, verse 14. "I praise you, for I am fearful and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well." Thus ends the readings.
I love that verse from the psalm, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." But I thought about it and I thought, fear, I don't want to strike fear in people. So I pulled out the dictionary, which I do just about every week as I'm prepping my sermon, and one of the definitions is to cause astonishment and awe, to inspire reverence or awe. To be fearfully made, to cause astonishment and awe. Imagine saying that to yourself every morning when you get up and you look in the bathroom mirror. I am made to inspire awe. I'm going to ask you to say it with me now and practice for tomorrow morning. I am made to inspire awe. Fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist felt that this was true. The entire Psalm 139 talks about God's nearness, God knowing us intimately. But I know that a lot of times I look in the mirror and I see my flaws. And I see the person that maybe is less than wonderfully made. But that isn't how God sees me. And that's not how God sees you. God sees you as awesome, wonderfully made. And this verse calls us to look at ourselves and one another with those same God-seeing eyes. Awesome. So I do invite you every day to get up and look in the mirror and tell yourself that you are awesomely and wonderfully made. And then from Genesis, made in God's likeness. When a baby is born, a lot of times people will say, "Oh, look, she's got grandma's chin, Uncle Ned's ears. Oh, she's got her daddy's hair. Isn't he cute? He looks just like my..." And none of that is true. All of those things, that chin, the ears, the nose, they all belong to that baby. But I think we kind of want to own that baby. We want to say, "You do belong to us. We see the resemblance." So I think maybe the writer of Genesis was talking about something other than this or my ears. I think maybe the writer of Genesis was talking more about the nature of the divine, the soul, the inner spirit, where we're probably more alike than different. We share the same DNA, all of us, but there's little tiny strands on those genes that give somebody red hair and somebody freckles and make somebody left-handed and make somebody tall and somebody short. Because truthfully, we don't know a lot about God's physical existence. No chin, no ears for us to compare ourselves to. But our best image of what God is like is the example of Jesus of Nazareth. Because Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen God." Now, I don't think he was talking about you've seen a Middle Eastern guy with a beard and hair. I think he was talking about how he lived. He sat down with all kinds of people. He ate with all kinds of people. He invited everyone into this dream of justice for all. So if we look at Jesus and that's what we see, then we maybe are seeing God. And that's what we ought to be seeing in one another, is that dream of justice for everyone. So I do want to ask you every day to look deeply into your own eyes and look into the eyes of one another and declare, I am wonderfully made. And then in turn, because we share that God DNA, I want you to look at other human beings. And if you don't say it aloud, at least repeat it in your own head. Yes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so are you. The image of the divine. Just the way you are. If God can look at everyone with the eyes of love, I can do no less. No matter who you are, no matter who you love, made in the awesome and wonderful image of God.